unchaste daughter. Asamatam, not very attractive. Vihaya, giving up. Jaram, paramour. Bhajase, you have accepted. Amum, this man. Advagam, comparable to a street beggar. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O unchaste girl, what is this that you have desired to do? You have cheated the most respectable husband who is honored by everyone. For I see that because he was old, diseased, and therefore unattractive, you have left his company to accept as your husband this young man who appears to be a beggar from the street. Purport. This shows the values of Vedic culture. According to the circumstances, Sukanya had been given a husband who was too old to be compatible with her. Because Chaivana Muni was diseased and very old, he was certainly unfit for the beautiful daughter of King Shariati. Nonetheless, her father expected her to be faithful to her husband. When he suddenly saw that his daughter had escaped someone else, has accepted someone else, sorry, even though the man was young and handsome, he immediately chastised her as asati, unchaste, because he assumed that she had accepted another man in the presence of her husband. According to Vedic culture, even if a young woman is given an old husband, she must respectfully serve him. This is chastity. It is not that because she dislikes her husband, she may give him up and accept another. This is against Vedic culture. According to Vedic culture, a woman must accept the husband given to her by her parents and remain chaste and faithful to him. Therefore, King Shariati was surprised to see a young man by the side of Sukanya.
Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Picharini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatya Deshatarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So reverse again. O unchaste girl, what is this that you have desired to do? You have cheated the most respectable husband, who is honored by everyone. For I see that because he was old, diseased, and therefore unattractive, you have left his company to accept as your husband this young man who appears to be a beggar from the street. So that's a heavy statement. This someone, if you hear this, someone says like this without knowing the truth, it's a speculation, because you don't really know. So you can say that the king, the father of Sukanya, that he was speculating, thinking that this young man that he saw near to her daughter was someone else, and he definitely looked like someone else, a young man. Her husband was old and diseased and invalid, and here is now a beautiful young man standing beside her. So, and then the purport, Srila Prabhupada is just describing the Vedic culture. So Vedic culture, Srila Prabhupada, by his mercy, he has come to the Western countries to spread the Vedic culture. What we are accustomed to is different from the Vedic culture. There may be some semblance, like in some countries where Indians were sent as indentured servants to work on sugar plantations and other industries. They may have some of the Vedic culture. There's some, like in some of the West Indian countries, the women still wear sari and, you know, they do certain things. But in general, the complete Vedic culture was brought by Srila Prabhupada to the Western countries. So in the purport, he's mentioning some very heavy things. And because of our upbringing and our society and and just the general understanding in general, these things are foreign to us. In the early days when Srila Prabhupada would speak of of these rules and regulations and things that we should follow and so forth, people used to wonder. But because they had so much faith in him, the hippies and, you know, those who first joined the movement, because they had so much faith in Srila Prabhupada, they accepted. Because there were so many rules. In fact, one time, the poet, I think Allen Ginsberg, he said, so many rules and regulations. And Prabhupada responded saying that, if I tell you all the rules and regulations, you would faint. So there are so many things that are there. And in trying to spread this culture, in spreading the Vedic culture, we run into a lot of difficulties and problems, because people just can't understand. And it's difficult because we are growing up, we have certain background, we have certain bad habits. And habits are very difficult to change. In fact, I heard one devotee mention one time that it is easier to change your body than to change your habits. So habits are very difficult and we resist them. It's the natural tendency is to resist the things you don't like. However, when one becomes Krishna conscious, then he is happy to accept those things that are a little different, because he sees the higher principle of worshipping the Supreme Lord, and he accepts and embraces things that would normally he would not do. So the devotee of the Lord, he thinks like that here is something that is good for me, even though it might be a little bitter to accept. What is that verse in Bhagavad Gita that what is sweet in the beginning is bitter in the end, and what is bitter in the beginning is sweet in the end. For a devotee can see that all the austerities that he's performing, getting up early in the morning and bathing with cold water and having to undergo so many austerities, chanting 16 rungs, 2 hours of my day is gone, and going through the austerities like that, he sees that there is great benefit. So in the same way, there is also great benefit for householders. When the man is qualified and doing well in Krishna consciousness, serving Krishna and behaving well, and the woman is very chaste, then you have a very nice compatible situation within the house. And it's described that when there is a nice relationship at home, then Mother Lakshmi Devi, she resides in that house and bring all the goodies to the house, you could say. So here, King Saryati, he is speculating that this young man is actually someone else. So we have read before how by her chastity, she was able to change her husband into a very young man. Now, in our society, if our father says like that, let's say a father tells a young girl who's, you know, something like this, then she would immediately get angry, and she might even stop her father before he finished speaking. She may want to explain to him, give him good knowledge of what has happened. But later on you will see that she didn't get angry with her father. In fact, she was just smiling because she was so sure that she was very chaste. And when one is very chaste and very confident in his or her service to the Lord, nothing affects him. When one is Krishna conscious, every situation he sees, even though it might be difficult, he sees it as an option, as a chance, an opportunity to serve the Lord. And he smiles in the greatest difficulties. So So she was like this, this Sukanya, being very chaste. This chapter actually is describing, there's a lot of weight put on the women for chastity's sake. And it's a very important aspect of Vedic culture. So trying to create ideal men and women, Srila Prabhupada has worked very hard. One time in Australia, he was speaking to one of the directors there, Australia's director for research for the development of, for the Department of Social Welfare. And this was in Melbourne at our ISKCON Center in 1975. Srila Prabhupada is saying, the defect of the Western countries is that practically there is no social structure. The father and mother divorce and the children become aimless. In most cases, this is the defect. The director says, that happens, of course, yes. And Srila Prabhupada said, I have seen this pattern with many of my students also. Their whole family becomes disruptive because the father and mother, even in old age, divorce. I have seen the mother of one of my students. His father was a very good businessman, very nice family with a good income. All of a sudden, the father and mother disagreed about something and got a divorce. The sons were thrown into confusion. The daughters were thrown into confusion. The director says, that's the kind of cases we deal with. Prabhupada, the father married again and the mother married again. They were not happy and also the business closed. So by this one instance, I can understand how in the Western countries people have broken away from the traditional social structure. Of course, the root cause of this is godlessness. That is the root cause. And the director, and now divorce is getting easier too, isn't it? Prabhupada, that is a very dangerous law to allow divorce. Divorce should not be allowed. Even if there is some disagreement between husband and wife, it should be ignored. Chanakya Pandit says, Dampatye kalahe chaiva bhavarambe laghu kriya. The husband and wife's quarrel should not be taken very seriously. Further, aja yudhe, a marital fight. A marital fight is just like the fight between two goats. Two goats may be fighting very spiritedly, but if you say hut, they will go away. Similarly, the fight between husband and wife should not be taken very seriously. Let them fight for some time, they will stop automatically. But now when the husband and wife fight, each goes to a lawyer, and the lawyers give encouragement, yes, let us go to the divorce court. This is going on. So the first defect of modern society is the law allowing divorce. Another defect is there is no method for training a man to become first class. That method is there in the Vedic civilization. Now, of course, that method is also abolished due to the degradation of the modern age. So here we see Srila Prabhupada is describing the qualities of the age and how things are becoming degraded. Now people may look at that and say, well, of course, you know, when someone is in a situation where they're being abused, a woman especially, being abused or something, there is no other recourse. Sometimes there is no other recourse. One just can't live with each other. And Srila Prabhupada, many times he would say is, okay, you can't live together, then you can preach separately. There's nothing wrong if you preach, and you can preach separately, you can live separately, and you can preach. But he didn't encourage that, in general, he didn't encourage that, well, okay, you're leaving one husband and you're taking another husband, and you're leaving one wife, take another wife. Live separately and continue your Krishna consciousness. In some cases, it's not possible. A woman always needs some protection, they always need some companion. Unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, then he can go on, he or she can go on in spiritual life. they can tolerate the onslaughts of the material nature and completely depend on Guru and Krishna. Then there was in a Back to Godhead magazine, sorry I'm reading so much today, but this is an article, it's called The Graduate, it's 2001 and was written by Archana Siddhi, and she was talking about her son who was now graduating. Actually it was a graduate, and she called it a graduate, high school graduation. And in this article, a lot of real-time concepts and stuff came out. So I thought I'll read a part of it. My husband and I take a seat on the shiny varnished bleachers in the large arena used for basketball games. The well-dressed crowd sits in anticipation as their sons and daughters, filing through the rear entrance in dark blue caps and gowns, prepare to graduate from high school. I spot my son, Narayan, standing in the procession. His searching eyes meet mine, and we exchange grins. Unexpected tears fill my eyes. My husband squeezes my hand to comfort me. I am flooded with emotions and memories of the past 17 years as a mother to my only child. Mental snapshots of his childhood appear. A plump, colicky infant crying inconsolably in his wind-up swing. A mischievous toddler sneaking out of the room during nap time. Saintly looking 4-year-old in saffron robes, shaved head, happily dancing in the temple to the rhythm of drums and cymbals. A child with a sleep disorder roaming our apartment at night, and me watching him to make sure he is safe. A Gurukul student standing with folded hands, recited verses from the Vedic scriptures. A sad child starting high school in public school after being in the Gurukula since age 5, sitting alone in the cafeteria with no friends and too shy to talk to anyone. This mental picture increases the tears as I remember feeling his pain and so much wanting to protect him from the hardships of growing up in the material world. Then there was a night he passed out in the field near our house. Raising Krishna-conscious children in our Western culture is a difficult assignment. It is said that it takes a village to raise a child. Unfortunately, most devotees don't live in insulated Krishna-conscious communities, and the influences of the dominant culture insidiously seep into our ashrams, temples, and communities. While Hare Krishna parents of my generation chose to be devotees after many years in materialistic life, our children, though raised in a spiritual atmosphere, often haven't made that internal commitment. They seem able to follow the path of Krishna consciousness in childhood, but as the influences of adolescence take hold, many turn away from the most basic practices. Any parents who diligently raise a child in a Krishna conscious atmosphere only to have their teenager reject, ignore, or devalue the teachings and practices, know the deep pain of perceived culture. And then she goes on, there's a couple other paragraphs. And in the end she says, even Srila Prabhupada's own children apparently didn't take up Krishna consciousness wholeheartedly. The scriptures also teach us that if we become qualified devotees of the Lord, as is Srila Prabhupada, then our family members are automatically delivered from material existence despite their own disqualification. So when one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, then he can help so many other family members. There are a couple other quotes I wanted to mention, but in general, a chaste woman, as is describing there in this verse, there is all gain of spiritual and material, everything is, it comes as a result of that. in the 60th chapter of the 10th canto, when Krishna teases Rukmini, in that chapter there is it's very interesting how Krishna, he wanted to he wanted to tease Rukmini, and therefore he said so many things about her, about himself, about her. Why you're taking me, you know, there are so many other kings who wanted to marry you, and you know, I have no place, you know, I'm just a simple cowherd boy and this thing and that thing. And because of that, because of saying so many things, terrified of these kings, oh lovely proud one, we took shelter in the ocean, we have become enemies of powerful men. Women are usually destined to suffer when they stay with men whose behavior is uncertain, and mine is like that, and who pursue a path not approved by society. And then he says, oh Vaidarbhi, not being farsighted, you didn't realize this, and therefore you chose us. He didn't say me, he said us. You chose us as your husband, even though we have no good qualities and are glorified only by deluded beggars. It was to dispel the ignorance of these kings that I carried you away, my good woman, for they were blinded by intoxication of power. My purpose was to curb the strength of the wicked. We care nothing for wives, children, and wealth. Always satisfied within ourselves, we do not work for body and home, but like a light, we merely witness. And then, of course, she got very upset. Rukmini thought to herself, especially, beloved of, by the Lord, because he never felt her company, by saying these things to her, he vanquished her pride, and then he stopped speaking. Goddess Rukmini had never before heard such unpleasantries from her beloved, and she became frightened. A tremor arose in her heart, and in terrible anxiety she began to cry. With her tender foot, effulgent with the reddish glow of her nails, she scratched the ground. So Dinabandhu Prabhu especially liked to describe the activities of the women in different moods. So when they are upset or worried, they scratch the ground with their feet, with their toes. Rukmini's mind was overwhelmed with unhappiness, fear, and grief. Her bangle slipped from her hand and her fan fell to the ground. In her bewilderment, she suddenly fainted, her hair scattering. Shocked by Krishna's words, Rukmini could not understand. Seeing that his beloved was so bound to him in love, Krishna, that she could not understand the full meaning of his teasing, merciful Lord Krishna felt compassion for her. The Lord quickly got down from the bed, manifesting four arms. He picked her up, gathered her hair, and caressed her face with his lotus hand. Wiping her tear-filled eyes and her breast, which were stained by tears of grief, the Supreme Lord, the goal of his devotees, embraced his chaste wife, who desired nothing but him, O King. Expert in the art of pacification, Lord Krishna tenderly consoled pitiable Rukmini, whose mind was bewildered by his clever joking, and who did not deserve to suffer like this. So that's another thing is, says here, Krishna was expert in the art of pacification. So this is also another quality that in the household ashram, the man needs to learn how to pacify. I guess both persons, but especially the man. Now, when I was reading this, I remembered Ajamil in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and also the allegory of King Pachinabarhishat, the story of Puranjan. But especially I was remembering Ajamil because he was born in a Brahmin family, and then he became attracted to a prostitute and lived his entire life, practically speaking, with the prostitute. And then he got this son Narayan, and he was calling out his name, and he was saved at the time of death. And after he was saved, what did he say? And this is from the sixth canto. It says, Aho me paramam kastam abhuda vijatatmana yena viplavitam brahma vishalyam jayatatmana. Ajamil said, alas, being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became. I fell down from my position as a duly qualified Brahman and begot children in the womb of a prostitute. Dhegmam vigarhitam sadbhir duskritam kulakajalam
Hitva balam satim yoham surapim asatim agam.
Alas, all condemnation upon me. I acted so sinfully that I degraded my family tradition. Indeed, I gave up my chaste and beautiful young wife to have sexual intercourse with a fallen prostitute accustomed to drinking wine. All a condemnation upon me. So when one becomes Krishna conscious, he thinks like this, he feels like this, and his whole emotional makeup changes, where he, instead of being proud that I am the man or I am the woman, I am so intelligent, I was brought up in a good family, or whatever qualifications one might have. When he becomes a devotee, his attitude changes to think like this: all condemnation upon me. And, you know, I have done so many wrong things. I have put others down. I have cheated so many people. I have done this and I have done that. He never forgets his bad activities. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was feeling this sorrow, and he was. Because he was a devotee, Prabhupada said, he was feeling sorry to kill all these family members. So, anyway, we'll be soon getting out of this chapter. And definitely there are lots of lessons here for us to learn. And many things are difficult, and we are trying to become Krishna conscious. And along the way, there will be lots of challenges. So, all these things are there to help us to become more Krishna conscious, so we can be happy. We know that we are contaminated when something is said and it pinches us. When some truth is said in the scripture and it pinches us, we should know that we are still under the cleansing. We are still in the cleansing method. We are still in the cleansing mode. So, I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes, Trivikram ji.
How chastity is acquired, and what are some symptoms of chastity?
Well, those are already described. We have already spoken a lot about that. There's chastity not only in terms of couples, but there's also chastity of guru-disciple relationship. In fact, in one place, Madhavacharya mentioned, let's see if I have it here, that everyone should see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This, whatever activities they're doing, they should see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the real person to respect, and that's real chastity, to constantly be looking to the Supreme Lord. we know about the wife, you know, thinking of the husband being the supreme, but there's also the disciple looking at his spiritual master as the Supreme Lord, the citizens looking at the king. And when one has this consciousness, then it's very easy for him to make spiritual advancement. So there's chastity all around. Even chastity of the tongue, of what to speak and what not to speak. So there's so many things there that we need to work towards. Anything else? Yes? Microphone.
Yeah, but I want to know, is in the history, is the opposite, the old man can find a young woman, compared to a young woman. You know, this, they find the young woman found the new body for his husband. You know? But what about the positive? They can do that?
Okay. I don't understand.
You understand?
What's your question?
But this is the history appeared, is the young woman make the body, new body for her husband, more young. When he was old,
right?
What about the positive,